something always comes out of my mouth that I didn't know. So, you know, I realize I'm coming here to learn, to just like everybody else. Because the Spirit of God, by His grace and mercy, speaks through me, and He will give me enlightenment right on the spot. So I've learned now, you know, to always prepare properly. You know, I look forward to coming to church because I'm going to increase. Turn to your neighbor tonight and say, you're going to increase in Jesus' name. You will increase spiritually. You will increase mentally. You will increase physically. You will increase financially. You will increase all around in Jesus' name. And give them a high five. Amen. We like that financial one. Praise the Lord. In financial, in Lamoy. Oh. Hello. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, Pastor Joe is going to be ministering to us. God has given him a very, very lovely message. I believe it's what I call a cutting edge present truth prophetic message. Trust me, you know, you'll be blessed. Pastor Joe, come. Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening, the privilege we have once again to gather even here today. We are grateful. Thank you for the covering of a set for us in the house that creates this atmosphere where we can hear that which your Spirit is saying. We are very grateful. As going to your word, Father, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I strip myself of every confidence that might yet have my knowledge or ability to share your word, all my preparation. I place all of my confidence in your mercies. In the grace of Lord Jesus and sufficient measure, the help of the Spirit to use all these things, Lord, to bring a word in season. Lord God, as your word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation knowledge of the word of God, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. As the word goes forth, Father, let it be comfort and edification to us as God are here today. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Holy Spirit, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. I lean on you for help to help me to bring into remembrance all things. Thank you, Father. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this evening is The Redeemer Shall Come to Zion. Let's say together, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20. First of all, read from the King James Version. Isaiah 59, verse 20. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. So, I think it was yesterday night, while we were doing the all night, God began to speak to me about this message and also correlated to what mommy has been sharing recently about the coming year, the next decade. Praise the Lord. Are we there? So, Isaiah says, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Let's read one more time. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Let's read it in NIV. It makes it clearer. In NIV. Are we there? So, yes. Anyway, say, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who what? Repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Say, repent of their sins, says the Lord. So here we see the scripture says that the Redeemer will come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. If you read this Isaiah 59, from verse 1, it starts talking about the Lord that is not too sure that he cannot save, you know, sins and iniquity are separated from him, and he kept on and on and on until he got to this place. Praise the Lord. Actually, if you read it, it didn't say the Redeemer. It says, and, say, and, let's put it back there. Say, and. I mean, the consequence of the Redeemer coming is a result of things that are taking place before this verse 20. We're going to see as we continue. Praise the Lord. So who is our Redeemer? What would Lord Jesus Christ our Redeemer, King's man Redeemer? The Bible says that we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I follow. So Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. We all know that. And then it says that he's coming to Zion. Say he's coming to Zion. He's not coming to Israel. It's at birth he came to Israel. You know, when Simon said, you know, that those are waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is not coming to Jerusalem. Even though, as we've been taught, you see, Israel speaks of the Dugbe church, the big one, the big church. I follow him. And Jerusalem is inside Israel. And then Zion is inside Jerusalem. So he has appeared in Israel at birth in Bethlehem. Then when he told them to go and tarry in the upper room, it was during that was Pentecost. So he's even come to Israel at Passover and at Pentecost. But now the Bible says the Redeemer is coming to Zion. Are you following me? And what is not just coming to Zion, it's coming to those that turn from transgression in Jacob. Praise the Lord. So what is Zion? As Pastor has taught us, Zion speaks about the perfect church. We consist of a perfect leader that is working in cleansing perfection with a fully submitted followership. That's why the master says some Lord Jesus says in the book of Psalms, sorry, not the Lord himself said, he said, this is my rest forever. He said, God has desired it. He didn't say Jerusalem is my rest forever. He did not say general is, he said, this is my rest forever. In one of his Psalms, I believe so. So this is why God is coming to Zion. And it is important for us as brethren in these times to make sure that we are gathered in Zion. It is very, very important because that is where he's coming to. As we go on, we'll see why we need to be gathered there. Praise the Lord. So I put it here, I say, why is he coming to Zion? It is very, very important for us to know why he's coming to Zion. And he's not just coming to Israel. Praise the Lord. So why is he coming to Zion? I'd like us to open our Bible to Isaiah 63 verse 4 in Amplified. You know, like mommy has been sharing recently, like I mentioned earlier on, he said that 2020 is the beginning of another decade. And he said this is the evening of 2019 in which we are to prepare. And she keeps quoting from Romans chapter 13 that we should awake out of sleep, that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the old armor of light. For our what? Salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Very important. Are we there? So why is he coming to Zion? Isaiah 63 verse 4 and Amplify. Let's do it together. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption, the year of my redeemed, has come. We are entering into that year of his redeemed. You see, when we're talking about the redeemed, most of us, we think of redemption in terms of redemption of our spirits. But see, Jesus Christ paid for the price of not just our spirits, our souls and our bodies. You know, Titus says that he may redeem unto himself a people zealous of good works. So this is the year of the Lord's redeem. This year we are stepping into. This is the Bible says that in Genesis, this is the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. So this is the evening of the year 2020. The morning must start us. In which we are supposed to be ready and to be prepared. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to have that at the back of our minds. And he says that, like I said, it's coming to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. It's not just coming to anybody, but to a set of people that assemble in Zion with these characteristics. They have turned from transgression in Jacob. Let's look at what does it mean to turn from transgression. The Bible says that in the book of 1 John, it says that if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that every sin is trans. Let me put up my head. He said, whosoever committed sin transgressed also law. For sin is what? The transgression of the law. So here you have a company of people that are gathered in Zion who have turned away. It does not mean that they are perfect. But see, they keep on examining themselves, judging themselves, and then using the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse themselves from every transgression or sin. That is their practice. That is their habitual practice in Zion. Especially those that are on this followership that is submitted to this perfect leadership. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Let's open the Bible to Proverbs 28 verse 13 to put the scripture behind this. It says that he that covereth his sins shall what? Shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall Lord have mercy. So this is company of people that we have that are gathered in Zion. They don't cover their sins again. You know, they are honest about their situation. And what do? They confess those sins. And when they confess, they receive a cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. As they do that, what happens? Because of the honesty of their hearts, they receive what? Mercy from God. And that is mercy is what helps them to overcome those infirmities and those transgressions. Praise the Lord. So, like I said earlier on, those are the people that are gathered there. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 4 describes them again. So I'm trying to describe this company of people. Just like Psalm says, that who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall dwell in his holy place? They that speak the truth in there. Ezekiel talks about those that are signed for the abominations of Jerusalem. That is, you find yourself, you look at the present condition of what is going on in the body of Christ generally worldwide, and you begin to sigh yourself, God, why should this be happening? You have stories all over the news, things that people do, things that pastors do. I don't want to talk about them. But you see, it makes you begin to wonder, say, God, when will something happen? You are signed for the abominations of Jerusalem. What is going on in the church? And at this time, you also recognize that, look, the only way that this thing can be overcome is through the manifestation of the glory of God. That's why you find this set of people that are gathered unto the Lord in what? In Zion. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here. I said that one of the reasons that why this message is very important, when I said it is returning, is coming to Zion, is this. Pastor has taught over the years. Talks about the transformation of our body. You see, if you go back to verse 19, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Let's look at it. Isaiah 59, verse 19. Let's look at it. He says that, let's go. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like what? A flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You see, why is he coming? Verse 19 tells us, because this is what he said before he said, spoke about verse 20. That is, the enemy has already come in into the church and also into the world. So when this takes place, that is what triggers, one of the things that triggers the Lord coming to Zion. He said, where the enemy shall come in. Already we can see in the body of Christ, like from what I just said. The enemy has come in through strange doctrines that we see. Bob talked about strange children whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood, who speak lying vanities in Isaiah, in Psalm 144. So that the enemy has already come in, not only to the church, but also in the world. You find this, I think it's in Revelation chapter 2. It says that, I know where Satan cities, talking about the church. So Satan has already come into the body of Christ already by strange doctrines. Bob talks have been the end time. You find the doctrines of devils, different things that you hear that are not scriptural, covetous practices, all these things that Pastor has taught us. Babylon, to summarize, is coming to the church because this already happened. And the next thing that also coming to the world, the Bible says that the whole world lies under wickedness. The Bible calls the world the lust of the flesh. Say lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, and also the pride of life. So you can see different things going on both in the church and also in the world. And you find a set of people that are gathered unto the Lord in Zion. Why? Because this is taking place right now. And you find decrees, all these things about homosexuality, things that are going on in the world. Are you following me? And you're wondering. That is why he is coming to Zion. Because the Bible says that in Psalm, says, oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has what? Shined. Praise the Lord. So he's coming to Zion because of this particular reason. Actually, if you read, as mentioned, you read Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 16. It says that somewhere says, truth has fallen in the streets. He said that those that do the right thing are become a prey. If you can find the point, just read two of those scriptures. You know, it says, those that try to practice the truth, they have even become a prey. And he said, the Lord wondered. And he saw that there was no intercessor. And his arm brought salvation. We are going to see that as we continue. Okay, let's see. Verse 14 and 15, please. This is the condition we can see. And judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. For truth is what? Falling in the street. And equity cannot enter. Praise the Lord. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. And Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore, his hand brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. You see, I want to refer to something. Pastor sent an article to us recently about our former president when he stood against homosexuality. Let me summarize what happened. He faced serious persecution. The Bible says that persecution and affliction will arise for the word's sake. He faced serious persecution. And you see, that is why God has to intervene. Because it's going to take the Spirit that measure to overcome that kind of persecution. The whole world persecuted the man for standing for truth. He said that the man said he could not deny his conscience. He had to stand for truth. And find the world leaders gang up against him. They did everything to push him out. They refused to give him up for Boko Haram. And blamed him as the one that caused the problem in Nigeria. I follow him. That is the situation you see. The truth is falling in the street. The Bible says that the church of God is the pillar and the ground of truth. But that truth is falling in the street. Why? Because you see, the people that are supposed to stand for truth, the leadership in the church, are you following me? They themselves are not pillars. They seem, like Paul said, they seem to be pillars. But God has raised up and is raising up an apostolic and prophetic ministry. After they are going to stand, you see, Bible says, where the word of the king is, there is power. That is how you stand for truth. When they speak the word, it comes to pass. How about I say Isaiah, Psalm 2? He said, be wise, all you kings of the earth. Say, kiss the son, lest he be angry with you. Praise the Lord. So that is very, very important for us to know. And the second thing I have here is that for his coming to the Zion church, so that we can experience this transformation of our body. The pastor has taught us over and over and over again. That is the end of our salvation. He has spoken to us about the redemption of the brain, the redemption of the body. Let's open to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. To put the scripture behind this. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Where Paul, Romans chapter says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves do what? Groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to with what? The redemption of our body, or the transformation of our body. That is in which the life of God will now enter into this physical body. The made manifest, like say 2 Corinthians chapter 4, said that we are delivered of the dead, that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says the same thing. It says that we in this tabernacle do groan. Not that we should be unclothed, but that we clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You see, anytime the Bible talks about that, you see different stories in the Bible. It talks about our physical body. It speaks about it as the garment. That is, this is your garment, your physical body is the clothing of your spirit man. Are you following me? So you see, that physical body, the life of God that you received when you got born again, must be pumped through intercession, through groaning to your soul, and then from there enter into your physical body. Because you know why? The reason for this condition is in Isaiah 59. It's listed, is what he mentioned in Isaiah 59 verse 1. He said, the Lord's heart is not too short that he cannot say, but your sin and your iniquities have separated. So it is that sin that you see the chaos in the world, and also in the church. So that life of God must be pumped into our physical body, into that physical, in this garment, the clothing of our spirit man. Are you following me? We'll go to the story. I just mentioned the part of the boy that did not have a wedding garment. Are you following me? Because that is actually the total redemption of our physical body, transformation like you see in the Bible. The life of God in the mortal flesh. Where you see people like Paul experienced in a certain measure. You know, when somebody fell from the third loft, you know, in the book of Acts, he just went there and laid on the boy, and then the boy revived and came up again. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us is that the transformation of physical body. That scripture that Titus also speaks about, it said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will redeem us from all iniquity and prepare unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. So there must be that total redemption, you know, in which we see nature is totally flushed out from our souls and our bodies. Praise the Lord. We already quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Say, always bring about in our body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ may also be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important. That is one of the most important reasons why he's coming to Zion. If you remember the Bible about the foolish and the wise virgins, it says some had oil in their lamps. The five foolish virgins, all of them had oil in their lamps, yes, sir. But some went a step further, or let me say the extra mile, to get oil, to put oil in their vessels. So when the big cry came at midnight, that the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. What happened? Those that only had oil in their lamp, this is the type of a spirit man, but also the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You see, their lamps were already going out. But those that had oil in their vessels, they went out and they said, ah, please, those that didn't have oil, please, can I give us? They said, no, we cannot go give you. That only they said they went to buy. And by the time they came back, Bible said, those that came back on time were able to join him. I thought, what are we saying? That's another example of the Bible. See, we must have oil at this time in our vessels. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. And the other thing I have here again, which is important for us to know, is about this parable of this guy. Because you see, you can be in a place, we will not be a portion in Jesus' name. And with, like that boy in the book of Matthew, that the Bible said the king made a feast unto his son. And he said he went to go and call them. Pastor Wiley was singing about yesterday. Some said, I married a wife. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. You know, And at the end of the day, he said the king came to inspect. He's coming to his church to come and inspect. Why? His pastor said yesterday, he said, you know, he said it's the bride that makes herself ready, not the body. Are you following me? The body will not care. But it's the bride that makes herself ready. The responsibility is for the bride to make herself ready, like Esther. Once you have been given the things of purification, you will prepare yourself to go unto the king. That's why you find out that out of all those that were taken to the palace, it was only Esther that made it. Reason number one, like I said earlier on, those that are in there, you see that type there again. She was under a Mordecai. Reason number two, she used those things of purification to make herself ready. Number three, Haggai, submitted to this type of the Holy Spirit. I follow me. Took only what Haggai told her to take. You see, this thing is not, it's not something physical. It's not gimmicks. It's not, how do I put those spirit? It's not gifts that will present you to the king. Are you following me? He said that in that day, many will come unto me and say, Lord, Lord, have you not done this? I said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. That is, iniquity was the source of what they were doing. And yet they called him Lord, Lord. So that's that type again in Esther. Esther, when he went to see the king, it was only, his Bible said that at that time, Mordecai had to say, don't reveal yourself to them in the palace. I said, Abaji, as he has always submitted and obeyed, he said, I don't have time to tell you, obeyed everything that Mordecai told her. And then the next, totally submitted. The next night, she only went to the king to receive with what a guy, a type of the Holy Spirit, gave her. Finish. I follow him. And that was how she was presented to the king. You know, I know the story. And, you know, the same story here, just in types and shadows. I follow him. So this boy enters into the feast. Under covering. That's the only way you could have entered. Which is the same thing again. The same thing with Gideon. Gideon had a son who made him the first 300. Yeah, it was through his father's covering. But when the robber hit the road and he said, okay, slay so-and-so, the guy was afraid. The question is this, how could he have made it into the first 300? If that boy's name is Jetha. Because father's covering. But see, in that period of time, he should have grown to the place whereby he would have been able to do what he was supposed to do. But you know the story, he could not. Then, God said, as a man, he sows his strength. So you see those types and shadows, praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? It's very important for us at this time to stay under covering. We'll see what it means to stay under covering. Not just coming to church. I follow him. It's beyond that. It's submit heart. The Bible says that obey and submit in Hebrews 13. Them that have the rule over you. Say, but they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Praise the Lord. Have another point here. Say, he is coming to Zion to make up his jewels, whose destiny is to rule the nations with the rod of iron. This speaks about the man-child company. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. He says that as he was traveling, she gave birth to a man child that was caught up to the throne of God. He said, whose destiny was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. You see, that is why he's coming. You see, there's so much controversy in the body of Christ today. The Bible says that God is coming to settle the controversies concerning Zion. He's coming to settle it, praise the Lord. So he says that he's coming, you know, to make up his jewels. Those that are destined to rule nations with rod of iron. These are the ones that pastor has been sharing with us. The man-child company. Are you following me? That are destined to rule. That is, they will go forth with the power of the Spirit of God. They will break, rule, and also disciple the nations. Which they can only do with the Spirit without measure. Pentecost cannot do it. That's why if you keep on reading book Isaiah chapter 59, that is why it is that context. The next thing he said, well, I don't have time to go there. He says that this is my covenant with you. That is, the Redeemer started talking again. He said, this is my covenant. That is, the word which shall not depart from your mouth of your seed and your seed's seed. Then the next thing, it goes straight into Isaiah. The Bible was not written in chapter and verse. Now it says, Isaiah says, arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Say, darkness shall cover the eye. Yea, gross darkness the people. That darkness did not start from verse 1. It started from Isaiah 59. He kept on describing everything until this is, that's why I said this. Was yes, the coming of the enemy was the darkness. That brought the gross darkness. Are you following me? So that is why I said when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall raise up with thunder against it. If you notice again, the book of Revelation chapter 12, excuse me, he said that the dragon cast forth the flood after the woman. It's the flood of iniquity. That is what has been happening right now. But hallelujah, the thing that we should just about is that the Redeemer is coming to Zion. Praise the Lord. So it says, let's read Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. Malachi 3:17. This is why I believe God gave us these messages to encourage us. Very important. Isaiah 35 says that strengthen you the weak hands, confirm the feebleness, say to them out of fear of fear, be strong. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with a recompense. That is, he said, be strong, don't be afraid. Don't say, God, I've left all. But something, nothing seems to be happening. No. He said, strengthen the weak hands, confirm this. He said, behold, your God will come with what? Vengeance and with a recompense. And in what? Save you. Let's read as Malachi said. And they shall be, some verses up to see. This was the discussion that was going on among saints at that time. Please, can you go back? That's a priest. I said, you will call the proud happy. Yes, okay. Says, yes, we got that. You have said, it is vain to serve God. You see, how many people have said it's vain to serve God? Nobody will put up your hand. But see, when your zeal for the things of the spirit starts dropping at the expense of secular things, you are indirectly saying it to your action. That person only shared during the last prayer meeting. He said, God spoke to him. He said prayerfully. He said that God told him, and I believe it's so, that when you come to pray, you know, pray to faces for all Gideons. So when you pray for Nigeria, people just take it easy. Then when it's time to pray for the second phase, prayer request, everybody just did that tightness just flies out of the way. And everybody starts groaning and praying. You know, everybody starts praying and screaming. That energy just comes from nowhere. Are you following me? But, you know, when you talk about prosperity, you know, just a minute. Let's wait for the light to come back. Just a minute. Thank you, Jesus. He always says, gross darkness shall cover the earth. Yeah. yes. But it's not physical darkness, so please. I mean, boy, what am I just saying? Are you following me? So, he now said that, look, from what Pastor told us, what you are praying, even if it's for Nigeria, whatever you are praying for, God takes a portion out of it to do his will. That's why he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So as in, yes, he said, God takes out of a portion of what you're praying about. So you see, you are deceived when you come and pray and you think that because your personal prayer request and the zeal now comes on you and now begin to pray and groan. Blah, blah. Remember the Bible says, in the book of Romans chapter 8, he said, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings. We cannot bear that. And in that side, there, knoweth what is the man of sin. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So as long as you are praying in the Spirit, you are praying according to the will of God. So if you love God for that time is to pray for the nation, even though you are praying for your personal prayer request, the same Bible says that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So God has not violated anything. So what I will summarize is that let's take this thing serious. I follow him. That's the summary. Don't let whatever we are doing, like Mommy said, he said, every prayer is a grand finale. Put everything together. He also said that, I can remember now. He said that prayer is the recording. The playback is what you see. Praise the Lord. Put it back on Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. Okay. Say, you have said. It is vain to serve God. We now serve God. We serve God with our spirit. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Next verse. What people are saying. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that walk wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. It's all over the body of Christ today. Next verse. Then they that fear the Lord. How many of us fear the Lord today? So then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. You see, because you'll be deceiving yourself when things like that, your mind will. David said the same thing. He said, until I went to the sanctuary. He will come to you. God, what is going on? Let's keep reading because of time. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. The character. Next verse. This is where we are now. And they shall be what? Mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spare his own son that serveth him. Next verse. All in this season. This is what will happen. Next verse. Then shall you what? Return. That means they've left before. We're going to get there. It says that the ransom of the Lord shall return. People are not going to return until this manifestation takes place in the body of Christ. We're going to get there. The Bible says that when Saul died, I follow my people saw that. They said, and after Abner so died, he said they started joining David in droves. I follow him. So he said, then I discern between the what? Righteous and the wicked. Between him that served God and him that served God. That means up to this time, it was difficult to discern. Discern means to see into. Those that are serving God. And then you see that pastor, the wicked is someone that casts instructions behind you. So if you judge somebody's prosperity by what he has, or think that maybe he's keeping instructions, no. They cast instructions behind them. I follow him. He said, between him that served God and him that served him not. We haven't even taught. Paul said, I serve God. Thank my God. I serve my spirit, praying always for you. Next verse. And behold, the day cometh. Let's leave it. So all in this season is going to take place. Praise the Lord. So we shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, and them that serve God and those that don't serve him. See, but before all these things take place, that is before it comes to Zion, that is verse 19. Before, you know, all the other things we mentioned, it being a separate between, you know, those that are serving and those that are serving, something important must take place. Say something important must take place. And some vital, essential, critical must take place. And it's already taking place. That's what I want you to see from what God told me. He must first of all raise up a company of intercessors. Are you following me? A company of intercessors, as I preached, I say, but you first of all raise up a band of intercessors who will daily put on the old armor of God. And I said here, it is the advanced team who are sent ahead with the mandate to execute the judgment that is written. That's where good money just comes in. Amen. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 59:16. Let's read. You see, he said, what we read in Isaiah is applicable to Lord Jesus Christ. Fine. But now we're talking about us in this end time. So he says, and he saw, who saw? God the Father. Saw that there was no man. And wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness is sustained him. Next verse. Next verse. Right on. Yes. For he put on what? Righteousness as a breastplate. And an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Bible said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Bible said, when he spoke in Luke, he did not quote the day of vengeance of God. Therefore, I know that this verse does not apply to him alone. He said, the Spirit of Lord God is upon me, and another will preach good tidings, you know, so on, and he stopped somewhere there. He stopped. He did not quote the day of vengeance of our God, because see, that garment of vengeance is for us to put on. So he began to describe the armor of God. Next verse. So according to Jadis, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Next verse. Put that next verse in Amplified. He talks about the spirit without measure. So, as a result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemies are coming like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For it will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. There's a place I mentioned spirit of measure. I think check the verse before. Talk about the spirit of, you know. If you find it, put it there. I read it. I can't remember. It says, you see, what are we saying? Here, he's talking about, Lord just asked for his own part. This is our own part now. This company that are waiting, turning from transgression in Zion. We are going to punish. And we have already been taught. Daily putting on the old armor of God, which is armor of God. This is the shadow. Yeah, 16. See. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor. No one to intervene on behalf of truth and right, which is following the stream. Therefore, his own arm brought in victory, and his own righteousness, having what the spirit without measure, sustained him. This move of God is going to be sustained until the very end by the Spirit without measure. That's why I said, this is my covenant with you. He said that my Spirit will not depart from the mouth of a seed and a seed. This is what is going to sustain that move. Once it kicks off in Zion, it's going to keep on, we're going to keep on until we disciple the nations, then the rapture will occur. Praise the Lord. So we can see that already to the end of the year. So that's the shadow of it. The shadow also that we can see that I mentioned, Isaiah Psalm 149 verse 5. Psalm 149 verse 5. Because the master did not put on the garments of vengeance. It is for us to put on. Say, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Next verse. To execute what? Vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Next verse. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That's what David and Joseph did. Next verse. To execute upon them the judgment as in dishonor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. So not limited to Jesus alone. It's I and the children that God has given us for what? Signs and wonders there. So that is the shadow. Do you see the substance in Ephesians chapter 6? Let's open verse 18. Where Paul started describing the whole armor of God. 12 to 18. This is substance. Which is what we are... Go back to 18. 12. 12. This is what we are experiencing now. That Paul has started saying it. He says that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which is the source of the iniquity that separates us from God. If you go back to verse 9. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Next verse. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Having your loins gathered about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Next verse. That 59. That's what Paul brought it from. He now expounded it. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next verse. And above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Next verse. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Next verse says, praying. You see, the whole essence of putting on that old armor is to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you can see from Isaiah 59 where Paul brought it out from the substance of what we are doing right now. How about I say what I said? I said, good. I can't say. Yes, I can see that it's for the church. It's not just Jesus Christ. Are you following me? That's why I said that good morning Jesus is ever so important for you to join. That's cutting edge. That is what we do every morning. That shows whether you are gathered in Zion, waiting for the Redeemer to come or not. Praise the Lord. I believe we're all gathered in Jesus' name. Then that's the substance of what Paul said. You see, when this begins to take place, like I said, this one, this Isaiah 59 that I read, you see, it's going to, before all the other things I mentioned take place, it must take place, which is taking place right now. That's the real center of this message. He said he sought for an intercessor. And his hand brought salvation. Are you following me? And then those people that the salvation he brought, these are the guys that put on the old armor of God, which is armor of law daily. And then move and pray in the Spirit. All kinds of prayer in the Spirit. That's how you can locate where we are right now. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, I just mentioned, Pastor, I said, the following will begin to take place. It's already started taking place. But see, we increase in its measure. I quoted Isaiah 35 verse 7, and the ransom of the Lord shall return. You see, why are they returning? That means they've left before. The sons of Zadok and those that went astray. You see? The Israel that went astray, the priest that led Israel astray. Are you following me? The book of Ezekiel. So when they led the people of God astray, the Bible is saying, when they see this thing happen, if you read in Isaiah 35, talking about the spirit that mentioned, said the wilderness have blossomed, talking about the mind, blah, 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 blah. I said, behold, your God cometh with vengeance. I said, you will see the glory of the Lord. 35, Isaiah 35. Put it in one, I'll skip some verses. It says, the wilderness and the soldiers which have been glad for them, and they start to rejoice and blossom. It's the Papa has passed out. The wilderness here is talking about the wilderness of the mind, the carnal mind, because of sin nature. What makes the wilderness in the natural a wilderness? Because there's a lack of water. It's not, water is there, but it's not sufficient. No life. So what makes the mind of the darkness of the human mind is an absence of sufficient life of God. Water, a type of the life of God. It's not that it's not there, but it's not enough. Are you following me? It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Next verse. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy. And singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. And the excellence of Karan and shall be, they shall see this glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. He now goes to say, strengthen ye the weak hands. He was encouraging, he said, strengthen the weak hands and then confirm the feebleness. You remember again, Paul talks about, he said, let it be turned out of the way. In the book of Hebrews 12. Next verse. Says, next verse. Say to them that were fearful. That's what God says to us now. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. That's in vengeance. I will come with, when I even go with a recompense, and it will save you. Total salvation. Spirit, soul, and body. Next verse. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the dead shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness of the soul, while waters break out and streams were in the desert. Are you following me? Next verse. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the testing and springs of water. In the afterward, where dragons are Satan, the standing nature, most of the dragon, his nature. Where each lay shall be what? Grass with reeds and rushes. And the highway of holiness, highway of love, shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not therein. Next verse. Next verse. Said, land shall not be there, you know, blah, 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 blah. As no revenants shall be there. Say, but what? He said, the redeemed shall walk there. Those have been redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. Next verse. Says, and now why are they going to return? When they see verse 1 take place, that the wilderness begins to blossom. Those that have gone astray, that have followed Saul, they now begin to join David in droves. So the wrath of Lord shall return and come to Zion. They're not with what? Everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So that sign you see in Ezekiel, although a sign for the abomination of Jerusalem, is going to go. Amen. Follow me. So the other scripture I mentioned, let's look at it for a type. Or maybe just Chronicles, I think 2 Chronicles 12, 22. 1 Chronicles 12, 22. At that time, 1 Corinthians 12, 22. Talking about after Saul died. No, before then, the Bible says that there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. The house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker, and the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. For at that time, day by day, there came to David a type of prophet to help him until he was what? A great host, like the host of the Lord. The ransom of the Lord shall return. But don't forget what triggers it is when his arm raises up this band of intercessors. Until Isaiah 2, we all know it. He says that 2 to 4. So it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established above the mountains, and it shall be exalted above it, and all nations shall flow into it. You know, as I say, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, and it shall teach us of his ways, and shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Lord, and the word from Jerusalem. Are you following me? So these are the things that we are about to witness. The end time harvest. First, you find people come and join David, and you find all nations flow. They are coming to church, like pastor has taught us, to learn the ways of God. Are you following me? Because the house of God is the pillar and the ground of truth. Scientific things, the message will be going out, the pastor has taught us, things that it's not only going to be talking about, you know, all these types and shadows, there are prophetic things that are hidden in the Bible. Are you following me? That you begin to see what is written concerning you in the volume of the books. Praise the Lord. So, that is that. So, and then, as I begin to close, yes, let's now talk about the how, which is very, very important. As I began to round up in preparation, God showed me a scripture. How is God going to do this in Zion? He's going to do it by judgment and righteousness. Isaiah 1 verse 27. Is when we hear judgment, I'll explain to you what it means. Well, you see, Pastor has taught us. It's not judgment, as I think I said a few days ago. It's not bad something. Okay, so let's go. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and a combat with righteousness. What does that mean? Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said that if you will not judge ourselves, you will be judged. So the judgment is not about, don't think about this, okay, something bad happening. No. He says, Zion shall be redeemed. We're talking about redemption now. How will it be redeemed, Zion? He's saying, with judgment and a combat with righteousness. What is he saying? That judgment, that's what Paul said. He said that, examine yourself. And Joseph, he said, if you don't judge yourself, then you will be judged. What does that mean? Pastor has taught us. It's when you examine and judge yourself, and then righteousness stands for the blood of Jesus Christ. Right standing to receive life for right doing. Proverbs 21:21. Without time to join there. So you examine and judge yourself. What are we saying? When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I judge myself. I judge my wicked actions. I see myself now to repent. I judge my wicked actions. You now set your will. That's what you do when it says judgment, I redeem right with judgment. You say, I now set your will to apply diligently and completely the principles of perfection. That self-judgment that he's talking about. You know, after you do that, you now move on to righteousness. Basically, when you receive the blood of Jesus Christ to regain access to gain sufficient life, and you now pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, you know, use the blood, word, and spirit to perfect the love of God. So that's why Zion is going to be redeemed with judgment and a combat with righteousness. Right standing through the access to the blood of Jesus Christ to have access to life that will not help you to do right doing. That's just last scripture in Proverbs 21:21, because Pastor has taught that before. That's how it's going to redeem Zion. When you examine and judge yourself, but I set your will to practice these principles. That's how you turn away. You know, when you say, I set my will. Say, that means you turn. If on transgression. Are we there? He that followeth after right doing and mercy, honesty of heart, findeth what? Life, righteousness, with right doing, and honor. And honor. Let's read that again. He that followeth after righteousness, which is right standing, and mercy, true honesty of heart, findeth life, and what? Righteousness, which is right doing, and honor. Praise the Lord. So that is what I believe God wants us to, want me to share today, to encourage us, those that are of a fearful heart, be strong, and God will come with vengeance, and the recompense, and the reward, it will save us. So as we go home today, let's have at the back of our minds, that he that will come, and it will not tarry. Praise the Lord.
Give the Lord a super clap offering. Like I said at the beginning, that's what I call a present truth. Present truth means it's a prophetic truth, a prophetic shadow that the substance is presently happening. That's why we call it present truth. It's truth. It's always been true, but it is now happening now, presently. And that is, this is so important, you know, and I want to thank God. Let's give the Lord another clap offering. Amen. Pastor Dewey, thank you for that word. In fact, when I saw it, I just shook my head. He sent it to me and I said, yeah, this is what God is saying now. Because many of these same things God has been telling me, and I'll probably be over the next few months into the new year, be amplifying some of these things. I will just highlight a few things that he has said and amplify them because as he was ministering, I was taking a few notes. The first thing I want to highlight is the word Jacob. He says he's going to come to Zion and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Now we all know Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter. You know, Jacob was we all know who Jacob was. You know, he was a trickster and all of that. But Jacob changed. He changed from Jacob to Israel. And as when he came face to face and he was honest, he said, what is your name? What is your name? So for you to go to Zion, it is, watch this, there's a transition here. It is those that turn from transgressions in Jacob that go into Zion. See, Zion represents the perfect church. Jacob represents the church that is imperfect, that now becomes honest and turns from his transgression. And in turning from his transgression, he now transits to Zion. So that's a very important point there. Okay? You tell the truth to yourself in your heart, and then you use the blood, the word, and the spirit. And that now changes you. And Jacob, what did he do? He wrestled with God. Talking about intercession. It was when he wrestled with God, you know, that his name was now changed from Jacob to Israel, which is a prince who prevailed with God. And by becoming a prince, he now becomes Zion. He comes into perfection. That experience of perfection. Now, another thing I want to highlight here is Zion, the perfect church. Go to Psalm 50 verse 2. This is where we got it from. You know, God revealed this to us many years ago when we're writing all these landmarks, and you know, this was in the mid 90s. Must have been 93, 94, 95. That's when I started teaching emphatically about Zion. This is not Olubio. This is what the Bible says. You know, some things people hear, I've heard you say it so much, so they identify it with you and forget that it's not you. It's actually God. It was like something I heard many years ago. I laughed my head off. One of our uncles, he's gone home to be the Lord now. He said, "I know the man who invented this born again thing. He's that Kumuyi man." And he was talking to us. He said, "You know, all these born again children, born again, born again. Mabakumu yellow event." I said, "That uncle, Mabakumu, Jesus was so born." Because they had heard it so much from Kumuyi and all of us, you know, all the people who had been preaching. So Zion doesn't come from Pastor Lubi, it comes from the Bible. So out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. This shows us that Zion is the perfect church. That's why symbolically and prophetically, you have those three descriptions of the church. Israel, which is the whole church. Jerusalem, which is the church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and has revelation knowledge. That's the difference between Jerusalem and Israel. You have a lot of people in Israel who are not in Jerusalem. But everybody in Jerusalem is in Israel. Then you go a step further to Zion. Zion now represents the holiest of all, where we come into perfection, you know, which is the perfect church, you know. So you cannot be in Zion unless you are in Jerusalem. And you cannot be in Jerusalem unless you are in Israel. But you can be in Jerusalem and not in Zion. And you can be in Israel and not in Jerusalem. These are prophetic shadows that describe. So many times when you're reading the Old Testament, have that at the back of your mind. And there'll be messages inside a verse, because you'll talk about Israel, then you'll talk about Jacob, then you'll talk about Zion. And say, maybe it's the same thing. It's not. It's manifold wisdom of God. This is what, you know, I was sharing with Pastor Gwega just when Pastor Dewey was here. And this is what I was talking about, you know, a few Sundays ago, you know, about hidden truth. Look at how it's truth. But it's hidden all over the Bible because it's scattered. Look at it. Some of it in Revelation. Then First Chronicles. You know. Then Ezekiel. Look at how the link between the sign in Ezekiel and the sign in Psalm 35. And weeping and sign shall flee away. Which sign? Sign for the abominations. But until you put the scriptures together, it's like a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. You can't see the picture. If you are just reading your Bible by yourself, you will never connect the sign in Isaiah 35 with the sign in Ezekiel to the sign in Psalm 35. And the Bible is like that. That's why you need revelation knowledge. And probably just as importantly, you know, that's why you need to come to church and listen with anointed and prophetic teaching. Because you won't get that by reading it yourself. You won't. It is only when you hear it here, then in this light, you will now see light. But if you don't get this light, you won't have the light to see when you read your Bible yourself. That's why the whole thing is a synergy. Synergy means we work together. You know? Now, there was something else that's very, very important about the perfect church. I've said it before. Pastor Joey mentioned it glancingly, but I want to amplify it. It's a perfect leadership. Like you said, walking in cleansing perfection and a totally submitted followership. The picture of it is in Psalm 133. The anointing that is on the head of Aaron, it now flows down the beard and then to the skirts, which is representative and symbolic of the rest of the body. Now, how are you going to have a perfect church when everybody in the church is not perfect? Very simple. Very simple. Once you have a perfect leadership and the other people are submitted, the blood, the life, and the power that is flowing from the perfect from the head goes and it's cleansing the body constantly. So even though the people are not perfect in themselves, when they do anything, something cleans, you know, the blood cleanses them and they are totally submitted. They are obeying the instructions. So they themselves are constantly cleaning with the blood, loading with the word, firing with the spirit. That's why we walk in the spirit once every 6 hours and all that. If all that operation is going on synergistically, in other words, the head is doing its part and you are doing your part. If you're looking from the outside, you will see a church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or spot, or anything. It's there, but because the cleansing is taking place practically every second, and people are walking in the life of God, you're not going to see any spots. You're not going to see any blemishes. You're not going to see any wrinkles. You're not going to see anything like that because of what is coming from the perfect leadership into a fully, that's the key, if open hearts, a fully submitted followership. And we saw all of these scriptures the other day when I was teaching here, you know, about the joints and the bands and the ligaments and all of that, you know, onto the edifying of itself. God knows what he's doing. He has designed the body to function perfectly by this method of a perfect leadership, a fully mature leadership, and a totally submitted followership. That is why he mentioned it glancingly from Hebrews chapter 13. He said, obey and submit. Hebrews 13:7. Let's quickly look at it. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 17. 17 says it. This is good too, but 17 is better. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit. Everyone say obey and submit. If they are the same thing, he won't repeat it. Obedience is an action. Submission is an attitude. So not only do you obey the instructions of what they tell you, which is practicing it, but your attitude must also be one of submission, because it is a submission of the will that opens the channel through which what is coming from the top will enter into you. That's why it's how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There are three levels of unity. There's unity of the faith, which we all have. Whether you're a Catholic, whether you're an Anglican, whether you're a Methodist, or whether you're a scripture pastor, whether you are redeemed, whether whatever you are, we all have the same faith. So that's done. That's a done deal. The problem is the unity of the spirit and the unity of knowledge. Those are the two other levels of unity. And unity of the spirit, that's why you have to endeavor. That's why you have to use forgiveness, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. If anybody sees, watch this. You can ask it. See, if anybody sees brother sin, he says, ask life for him. If life is flowing, every joint supplieth in the effectual measure of the working of every part. So if all the joints are constantly supplying cleansing, asking life for each other, you won't see any spots in the body. That's a perfect church. It doesn't mean everybody is perfect. Like, not everybody will be at the same level of maturity at the same time. But because of this synergy of operation of the blood, the word, and the spirit, you know, both at the headship as well as at the followership, because they are obeying the instruction they have been given and they have the attitude of submission, the blood, the life, and the power that is flowing in sufficient measure will keep the body holy without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. I used to wonder about this years ago. I knew it could never be that everybody has to be perfect. That would never happen. But once you have a perfect leadership, look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus was perfect. His followers weren't. Everybody knows Peter wasn't perfect. Hello? And everybody knows Judas wasn't perfect. Yet, they had the glory of God. They did miracles. He said, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. And the Bible said, and they went everywhere, and the devils were subject unto them. Watch this, including Judas. And he was stealing. The Bible says so. He was seen from the back, yet the devil was subject to him. Why? Because of covering. So this thing is not to put anybody in bondage, anything like that. It's to save you. And it is that perfect church. And watch this again. Man, child. Man, the mature leadership. Child, the children. I and the children that God has given me. It is that perfect church of a man, child, company together, you know, with a perfect leadership, a totally submitted and obedient followership, that man child that will be the glorious church, and it is that one that is raptured, that is caught up. So all these things we're telling you is to guarantee you will go first flight. But that's why the condition for the rapture is not perfection. It's watching and praying always. It is the watching and the praying always that guarantees the constant cleansing of the blood, the constant flow of life, the constant flow of power that makes you holy without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. That's why you will go. And that's why I've been emphasizing and teaching, you know, you how to watch and pray always using the blood, the word, and the spirit. Learn it now. Because we're not going for another at least about 20 years. You know, as far as, you know, I don't know the exact day or hour. You know, I'm not predicting a date, but just the time and the season and the shadows. So I can tell you, it will be in that region. So if you learn it now, in another year, it will be a part of you. You will be watching and praying always, constantly. So you will have no fear that you will miss the rapture. The man-child rapture. Because there is a man-child rapture. Then there is a mid-tribulation rapture. Then there is a post-tribulation rapture. I don't think you should bank on the other two. That middle one is basically a Jewish flight. I don't know if there will be space for Gentiles. It's 144,000 and two witnesses. But knowing God, a few Gentiles may be able to come in. But why take another bus when I have mine? Why I take another flight when I have my own flight? I'm going to take a Gentile. I'm going to take a Jewish flight when I have a Gentile flight. So, take these things extremely seriously. So, what Pastor Dio has shared with us here is so important. Another thing, I just wrote them down. Pillars. He spoke about pillars. That the church is the pillar and ground of truth. You know what it says in the book of Revelation? He says that he that overcometh will I make a pillar, and he shall go no more out. We need, as you grow spiritually, one of the rewards of the overcomer is that you become a pillar. A pillar is somebody, these things here are pillars. It doesn't move. It's used to strengthen the building and to hold the roof. Are you listening to me? You need pillars. In the way Samson killed the Philistines was he put his hand by the pillars and he destroyed the pillars, and then the roof came coming down. Where you don't have pillars, truth falls down in the church. So we need pillars. People who will never compromise on anything. They will never, he says, they will no more go out. They permanently operate in the Holy of Holies. They no longer visit the outer court, but the holy place. They are pillars. And the more of them we have in the church, the more we uphold truth. The second, another thing I wrote, I was just writing them. The other thing he mentioned, which is of great importance, is the fact of, you know, the redemption, the year of the redeemed. And he explains spirit, soul, and body, you know, and the transformation of the physical body and oil in the life of God being manifest in the physical body, which is typified by that parable, you know, of having the wise virgins having oil in the vessel. Your vessel is your physical body. Your lamp is your spirit. Now, watch this. All of us need to have, listen to what I'm about to say very carefully. a significant measure of the life of God in the physical body. Not everybody would be perfect and have it totally. Because people are growing. See, God is very fair and He's very kind. Are you listening to me? But there must be something. Now let me, I preached this some time ago, you know. You know, in the olden days, in the days of the Lord Jesus and before electricity was formed, they used to have torches. See that torch, what they used to do is that they would put something like an oil that is combustible. So what you do is you take the thing and you put it near a fire. Immediately it will start burning. Are you listening to me? But if there is no oil on that thing, it will not come. The light won't come on. If you do not have now, the oil is not. It does not fill the entire stick. In fact, it's only the head of it that has. They usually put some type of combustible material. You know, our people. I remember I was telling about my grandmother. You know, when they used to make a fire, they would take this thing made with palm oil. Then you put it inside the fire, and the fire will. Okay, in this exactly the same way, you must have some amount of oil inside your physical body. So when you come near the glory, the fire, you too will go on fire. But if you don't have oil, watch it. The fire will burn you instead of igniting you. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Although saying that will not stop anything. You know, but the truth about that, make sure you have oil in your vessel. And that's where groaning, intercession, and all this asking for life, all this coming. So make sure you don't have to be perfect, have it in there, but have a significant amount of oil in your vessel. So when you come close to a man or a woman that has the glory and that has the fire, that's how you can get the broad anointing. Because you have oil in your vessel, when you come near them and they have the fire, that fire will... It will ignite you. So you need to have... That's why it is only those that had oil in their vessels that entered in into the feast when the bridegroom came. Who wouldn't have oil in their vessel? Or who just went to buy it and didn't get back in time, they couldn't enter. These are realities. You know, let me say this. You know, this is very important. Oh gosh, I got to close. You know, this is very, very important. A great majority of the church don't like truth. You know why? We don't want any responsibilities. So, God will just do everything. It's not true. I will be a bad pastor. He says, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. By the mercy and the grace of God, that's what I'm doing. Don't let them deceive you. Are you listening to me? It's not going to be automatic simply because you are born again and you speak in tongues. There are certain instructions you have to fulfill. Put oil in your vessel. Watch this. It is the people with the oil in the vessel also that will go with rapture. I'm talking about the man-child rapture. It is the oil inside the vessel that will be the magnetic material that will cause them to be caught up when the man comes. And you see, once you are part of that company, you know, the man-child, and you are obeying the instructions, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, your attitude is right. Do you understand? The thing will be flowing. So there is no day he will come, you won't go. So the condition is not perfection in conduct. The condition is watching and praying always. So keep the oil flowing. Keep the blood flowing. Keep the life flowing. So long as there's a constant flow, you're okay. The problem is when there's a disconnect. Paul talks about that in Colossians 2:9. He says, not holding the head. Look at it in Colossians 2. He says, they lost connection. Give it to me in the Amplified. Or the New International Version. there's a one that says, you know, they lost connection. New International, Colossians 2:19. He has lost connection. You will not lose connection in Jesus' name. Observe, he didn't lose connection because he said he was no Christian. He lost connection because he disconnected from the ligaments and the sinews. Because if you look at the connection, it says, not holding the head by from whom? By bands, joints and bands. So there is a connection that he's not talking about you're not born again or you go to hell. He's talking about you're not getting the amount of flow, the measure of flow you should be getting from the head, because your attitude or your rebellion or your disobedience disconnected you with the joints and bands. So the amount of nourishment that is coming is reduced. So there is not enough in the physical body to make it go on fire. We're not done yet. I put this down as he was talking. Sin, the sin nature and substance, is an insulator in the physical body. See, that's why this life of God, he was talking about Paul. And Paul lying down on that boy when the boy died and he fell from the loft, third loft, when Paul was preaching. You know? And the reason why we need the redemption of this body and the transformation of this physical body, so the life of God is flowing through it, is so that when the power of God is coming from God, it comes in through, the physical body does not act as a block. Because sin is an insulator. An insulator is something that doesn't conduct electricity. A conductor is what conducts electricity. So even if you have a very high current of voltage, and you take something like rubber doesn't conduct electricity, and you touch it, you won't get any electric current. You will get, but the current is so tiny. In physics, we have what we call, you know, the reverse current. You know, where a semiconductor, a transistor. When you put the voltage in the opposite direction, because so much, it's 0.000001. It's there. You know, if you have a very sensitive something, you can measure it, but it can't light a bulb. But if you want significant current, you've got to make sure that the resistance that is inside the body is greatly reduced. That is why you get rid of the sin nature. That is why you put the life of God inside, so that it becomes a conductor, not an insulator of the power of God. If you can say amen, say oh me. Somebody just looking at me. If you can say amen, say oh me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he spoke about Esther, you know, who took only what Haggai gave her. Haggai is the type of the Holy Spirit. It was Papa Ralph who taught us that. It was 1992. How many remember that? Oh, man, that was a message. The Esther Company. That message still ringing. It was preached in 1992. You know, it was. We had a prophetic conference. It was around November, October, you know, of 1992. We had done convention. We did convention in the summer. Then we now have prophetic conference. And one of the most powerful messages, and I'm still feeding on that after 27 years. Now, Haggai is a type of the Holy Spirit. Haggai told Esther, because Haggai knew the king. He knew what the king likes and what the king doesn't like. Don't take all these your Babylonish garments into go and meet the king. You will not please him. So she had 6 months of myrrh, which is suffering and, you know, self-denial and all that. Then 6 months of sweet odors. But even after that, it was only what Haggai told her. Now, what are the things Haggai, the Holy Spirit, is telling us today? They are very simple. Blood, word, and spirit. Don't take anything else. Don't take anything else. I'm telling you. In a sense, I'm your Haggai. The Holy Spirit is our Haggai. Don't misunderstand me. But through me, those are all you need if you want to please the king. Everybody say the blood. Hebrews 13 and there's another scripture. Hebrews and then 1 John. You know, that's what will clean you from the blood. It's not your works that's going to clean you. is the blood of Jesus. It is when the blood of Jesus cleans you that you will now have access to the life of God in sufficient measure. It's the life of God you have in sufficient measure that will now help you to pray in the Spirit, that will now convert you to power to help you to do right. If you have the blood, the word, and the Spirit, you will perfect the love of God. You don't need, don't take all these Babylonish things in. You don't need them. Another thing. This one, I chuckled when Pastor Dewey was reading. He was reading from Psalm 149. And you know, he was talking about the saints binding the princes and the kings and all of that. He says, they will sing loud upon their beds. What time of the day are you on your bed? In the morning. When you start praying, good morning, Jesus, where are you? You start on your bed and then you get up. He was talking prophetically about those who would get up early in the morning to pray. Why beds? Why would he talk about beds? Bed is when you sleep. So he's talking about those who get up to pray early in the morning. They put on the whole armor of God, which is the fruit of the Spirit, because God is love. Then the whole armor of God is not the end of the prayer, it's the beginning. Then that is now what prepares you to go and to pray in the Spirit and, you know, wrestle with principalities and powers. So you now bind their princes at your pleasure. Hallelujah. Oh. Then I got two more and I'm done. Psalm 35. I was just writing the notes as he was speaking. Verse 4. Where it says, don't be fearful. Behold, your God will come as it with vengeance. You know, what will make you fearful? The gross, is it Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah 35. Say to them that are fearful, what would make us fearful in heart in this hour? The gross darkness. There's a lot of it now. Before you look at Brexit, before you look at Trump, before you look at Abuja, before you look at this one, before you look at that one, you know, there's enough in the earth now to make everybody's heart, you know, the Bible says, you know, the hearts fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. There's enough now to discourage us. The only thing that's keeping us going is revelation. It's because we know that our God is coming. Amen. If you're going to look at it in the natural alone, you know, we're looking at some, you know, trying to do some things here and there, you know, even the government decrees, even the government policies discourage, you know, the kind of prosperity. I got to say this. I talk on the Hundredfold Principle on Sunday. And the other time I talked about, you know, the prosperity that's coming to the church. Now watch this. There's a certain level of prosperity we will not be able to have until we change the government. Because the government, look at what is happening with Bill Gates. Bill Gates, I went to do the research. I sent some of the pastors. He started a company called Terra Power. You know, I did physics to the glory of God. I had a first class in physics, my first degree. I have a PhD in physics. So at least I have a little bit of knowledge of what I'm talking about. I did not know, and I'm being honest, that such a solution already existed. I had often thought about it, but I did not know that Bill Gates spent money. He started that company in 2006. Yes. It's not too long, Pastor. Wait, guys, only 13 years. You know, and they did research. He put money. There was one very brilliant guy he got. You know, anyway, to cut a long story short, what they did was a computer simulation to show that you could, the chain reaction in the nuclear reactor can be done with depleted uranium. And what you have is called a traveling wave. In other words, the nuclear chain reaction travels as a wave from the core outwardly. But it's not like the other one that would have spent uranium that is radioactive, that is dangerous. you know, and what happened in Chernobyl that can, you know, can melt and break down, it is totally safe. 100%. And you don't need to go and get another message for another day. Another message just came to my heart. You don't need to go and get refined uranium. So the uranium you find in nature, you cannot use in a nuclear reaction. It's one of the things they discovered in World War II. You have to, first of all, take that uranium and then you have to purify it. Because there are two isotopes. There's uranium-235 and there's uranium-238. Now, and that's why you have centrifuges. That's what they're telling Iran not to do. Iran is trying to purify uranium to weapon grade. Because even if you just have ordinary uranium, if it's not purified to weapon, you cannot use it in a nuclear bomb. Anyway, so they've done the research now to be able to use depleted uranium, not refined uranium, to start a nuclear reaction. And once it starts, it can continue to work for 20 years, 25 years, no danger. Constant power. But to get back to what I was saying, so Bill Gates he was looking for governments he could work with. Because that thing, you can't, even though he has the money, you have to look for a place where you can build it, a government where they'll give you permission and everything. Even though he has the money, he can't just go and do it. So he looked around and said China. Because China, they have cheap labor. And China has, they've done a lot of, they've built a lot of nuclear plants. Not too much, but they have a few here and there. You know, they have in other countries too. So he felt China would be an ideal place to start. But they had to, because of the sensitivity of the technology, you have to get permission from the American, even though it's his money and his research, he cannot just take things that originate in America and take it to without permission of the US government. So they got the permission. So he now went to see President Xi in China and they struck a deal. They actually signed the deal and everything, signed the contract. So it was a breakthrough. Do you know that president of China came all the way to America to see Bill Gates? Not to see Trump. He came to Seattle to see Bill Gates. And they sealed the deal. So they're just about to start. The thing is, Pastor G, God has something for us in it. You know, because those things are supposed to come on stream about the mid-2020s. They haven't started construction yet. This trade war between Trump and China has stalled it. So government policy stops a great innovation. That is why, to use scriptural terms, we must bind their princes at our pleasure and teach their senators wisdom. If we don't, there are certain things, we may have the right idea, we may have the money, we may have the resources, but government policy will not allow us to do it. So we need to have benevolent kings who will say, let them pray for the life of the king and his sons. And not those that will oppose us. Even in Nigeria now, one of the problems we're having in the power sector is that some of the policies of government is not user friendly. They're asking the generators, the people who are the gencos and all of that, I'm producing something at 80 naira per kilowatt hour and you want me to sell it at 20. You will kill my business. You can kill it. So, okay, the people cannot afford it. So we have to look for ingenious ways of doing that thing such that we will get paid our money and then government will find a way of subsidizing for the people. But you cannot tell me to sell it at 20. We will solve that problem by the Spirit. You can see why, you know, we have to pray and you say they will bind their princes. That's Psalm 49. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God and pray. Okay. So, the last one here that I have recorded is judgment and righteousness from Isaiah 1:27. How is Zion going to change? It's going to change by judgment, honesty of heart, honest examination, you know, and then righteousness, right standing, and then right doing. As we do that, then we will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. They still have the sin nature. you know, and then that Jacob will now turn to Israel and now become Zion. And it's Zion now that is going to do the work, you know, in the world. I got to close by saying this. I'm going to probably repeat this because God had already given me all of this. And I thank God that God helped Pastor Joey to pick it by the Spirit. I didn't discuss with him. I just told him to pray and get, and he said this is what God gave him. So, and it's just perfectly in line. Everybody say Isaiah 59, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61. That's where we're living now. As at this evening, we're in Isaiah 59. Cross darkness. Equity. Truth is failing. Amen. But a band of intercessors is being raised. It says he will, and he will, his own arm. The arm of the Lord is not the head. Jesus is the head. The arm is in the body. It's us. It's us. That's why Pastor Joe says, yeah, you know, there's a prophetic reference to Jesus coming as Messiah to get to save the world. But really, the more complete prophetic picture is the church. It's us. Ephesians 6 is not written to Jesus, it's written to us. Put on the whole armor of God. Exactly, that's where Paul picked it. Paul picked it from Isaiah 59. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And that's, he now expands it by the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6. So, right now, we are in Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, there's gross darkness, there's truth is failing, all those terrible things. You know, the enemy has come in. He's not coming in, he has come in. But, you know, when you play chess, you play first, then I play. The enemy has come in. Amen. But like a flood, the Spirit of God is about to raise a stand against it through the intercession. It is the intercession that is spoken of with the whole armor of God. It is that vehicle that the Holy Spirit is going to use to raise a standard against the enemy that has come in. And then, I like that part he brought out in Isaiah 59. It says, you know, the breath of the Lord. He's going to flee. Give it to me. Isaiah 59. I think it's... where it says, you know, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Like a flood, the Spirit... Yes. Now, give it to me in the Amplified. I'll show you that it's intercession. Watch this. When the enemy shall come in... I don't like this, the way they put the comma. See, the comma was put in at the discretion of the translators. Now, that's not original with me. I learned it from Kenneth Copeland. Okay, because in the original Aramaic and Hebrew text, you know, there are no commas. So it is the English translator who is trying to put the comma to explain, but he put the comma in the wrong place. This is how it should read: when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise against it. The flood is the Holy Ghost. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is a flood and there is a flood. The enemy has his flood, but the flood of the Holy Ghost is far greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give the Lord a clap offering. Yes, the enemy is coming, but we have a bigger flood. You see it again in Psalm 29. He said, the Lord is riding on top of the flood. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Okay, so... So, as we are speaking tonight, we are in that verse. The enemy has come in. Come on. Hallelujah. Because we are praying, good morning, Jesus, and the synergy of all of our prayers, like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to raise, is raising as I speak, and it continues to raise a standard against that enemy that has come in like a flood and put him to flight. In other words, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The enemy is about, he's about to fly out of the church. For he will come, that is he, the Messiah, the Spirit of God, will come like a rushing stream. Which the what? Breath. What happens when you groan? It's breath. The Hebrew word is rush. It's spirit. That's exactly what we're doing. Are you listening to me? Now, Go to verse 20. And he shall come as a redeemer to Zion, and those in Jacob will be talked about. 21. As for me, you see, this revelation of the whole armor of God, praying with all kinds of prayer of the Spirit, releasing the power of the Spirit of God in great measure, in measure without measure, that is going to drive the enemy. This word will be on you, your children, and your children's share. In other words, it's going to lead to the rapture. This generation is going to, we're already seeing our children, we're going to see our children's children, and that's it. If truly it's going to be another 20, 30, 40 years, even 50, that's what you're going to see. Maybe great-grandchildren, maybe. This is the last finale. Glory be to God. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Amen, hallelujah. Is it, this word of the armor of God, the armor of love, praying with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, using the blood, the word and the Spirit to perfect the love of God, you put it to be in your mouth. It will be in the mouth of your children and the mouth of your children's children, and then we close the age. So, everyone say Isaiah 59. Then Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 speaks about, you know, arise and shine for gross darkness. But Isaiah 60 is the chapter of the glory. That's when the nations come in and the wealth of the seas shall become unto you. Okay? So when Isaiah 59 now, we're doing the praying, we're about to transit into Isaiah 60 and 61. 60 brings in the glory, 61 the vengeance. And you're getting some of my New Year message. Just a little peek. Amen. And he says, we shall restore the old waste places, the generations, the place of generations that have been cast away. You know, all these, look at Nigeria. The waste places. We're going to see a restoration. Give me Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. And they shall build. You see, the glory, watch it. The intercession of 59. Brings the glory of 60 that brings the restoration of 61. And they shall build the old waste places and raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations. You look at Nigeria and say, can these dry bones live? Can Nigeria live again? We look at the Nigeria of 1955 to 1959 when I was born. In 4 years, Obafemi Awolowo did in 4 years what no leader in Nigeria has done in the last 50 years. You know, whenever you read about Awolowo, you think he had maybe 5 terms. In one term of focus, of planning on cocoa money alone, Liberty Stadium, free education, Cocoa House, WNTV. We had TV before France. Now, African country. They hadn't got TV in France. Nigeria had TV in 1959. They don't have TV in South Africa. But if you look, go around the West today. When I say the West, I'm talking about Southwest region. Go to Ijebu, go to Lagos, go something. Waste places. All the industry, where is Odutola Tires? Where's industrial estate? Waste places. Waste places. The whole place. You know, you can excite batteries. Name me one thriving industry in Southwest today. Empty warehouses. But I've got good news. And they shall build. And they shall build the old waste places. Everybody say the intercession of Isaiah 59 will birth the glory of Isaiah 60 and will give birth to the restoration of Isaiah 61. Give the Lord a clap offering. Wrote complete prophetic note map. We're going to build all those old places again. The former desolations. We will repair the waste cities. This whole place will become an industrial powerhouse. You know, Nigeria has the capacity. We have some of the smartest. We are not the smartest people on the planet. But we have some of the smartest people on the planet. Like this one I'm touching. And that's true. God is very smart. You know, I'm telling you. We have some of the smartest guys on the planet. The problem has been environment. Equipment. Some of our kids, you know, all these Yahoo boys, they do bad things. But if you put those same Yahoo boys and put them in, they will create solutions that will put Google and Microsoft to shame. Oh yes. It's the dream I have. We're going to restore the waste places. But it's the glory that's going to do it. So you now see why your prayer is so important. You're putting on the whole armor of God is so important. You see the strategic, prophetic, application of it. It's not just, we're not just doing things. We're in Isaiah 59. So we must now release the flood to drive the enemy out. Bring the glory of Isaiah 60. And then use the glory of Isaiah 60 to restore the whole waste places. Then shall come to pass that which is written. There shall be no more complaining in our streets. Our oxen will be strong to labor. Our stores will be full of all manner of store. And they will bring forth tesla. Our young men will grow up like plants. Our daughters will be like pillars sculptured after the similitude of a palace. Can you see how the whole Bible joins together? Let's pray. Don't sit at your feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know about you, but I'm about to take off. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you're praying in the spirit, you know, good morning, you know, when you're praying, ask God, say, Holy Spirit, please, these things Pastor Olubi has been saying, show it to me. Say it in your heart. Say it in your, with your thoughts. You see, the Holy Spirit start giving you insight. I know to some of us now, it's like, they're looking at me like a dog at a... They picked a song. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken hath from his own abode on the rock of ages past. Who none can shake a sure repose with salvation's walls surrounded. We now smile at all glorious things of thee are spoken again. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken from thee for his own abode. Hallelujah. On the rock of ages founded, none can shake a sure repose. With salvation's walls surrounded, we now smile at all our foes. See the stream. See the stream of living country he moved. Who can faint while such a river ever flows? Our thirst to assuage.
Hallelujah!
Like the Lord the Giver, never fails from age to age.
Come, Almighty!
Come, Almighty, to deliver.
Let us
all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessed.
Hallelujah!
Serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in thy perfect love.
Finish now, glory!
Finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee.
Glory to God.
Came from glory into glory, till in purpose we take our place.
Till we cast the crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Praise and praise thee.
Put one hand on your heart. Pray and praise thee.
Pray.
It's a prophetic instruction. Without season. That's how you glory in perfect love. That's how you perfect the love of God. Pray and praise thee. Without season. One more time. Pray and praise thee.
Without ceasing.
Raise that hand or put the other one on your heart. Say, Father, we confess our sins so we clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We receive your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this evening, enlightening me, showing me your roadmap. That Lord, you the Redeemer, you are coming to Zion to redeem us from the Jacob nature, transforming us into Israel and into Zion, so that we can manifest your glory in this end time and remove and dispel the gross darkness and thereby be used by you to restore the old waste places and build up the desolations of many generations. Father, I understand. Have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. So I will not miss this great visitation. Lord, help me to understand the day and the hour in which I am living and be a partaker of these great things. Help me by your mercy and grace upon my bed
when I get up early in the morning, Lord God, to put on the whole armor of God and pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, so that, Lord God, I can be a channel, a vessel through which your glory, the power of the Spirit without measure, will be released into the church, that will put the enemy to flight. Oh God, that will cause the life of God to be made manifest in our mortal flesh, to manifest your glory. Lord God, that will change our nation and the nations of the world for your glory and the blessing of humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Nika tolomasha. Mercy, Lord. Lakito freninga toshka fredesk. Lo pridi ask. Zo fredek. Lombridika tufrenes. Zo lakiko frede. Lombridigas. Nongordolos. Nangik tofrede. Mercy, Lord. Lombriga glamatoloma tufredesh. Tolomanga glamatolomanga. Toloma tufridu freshe. Lambraka glamatolom tolom tufri dufri freshe. Lambraka glamatolom glamatolom. Lambraka glamatolom tufri dufri freshe. Glamatolom tufri freshe. Zoka glamatolom tufri dufri freshe. Favre dufri shingaras. Toka glam. Tolom glam. Tolom 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 glamatolom. Tolom tufri dufri freshe. Tufri dufri freshe. Toka glamatolom. Tolom tufri dufri freshe. Ingar dufri dufri. Tolom tufri ne. Tolom tufri dufri freshe. Tolom tufri dufri freshe. In Jesus' name. Say, Lord, have mercy on us to receive your blood, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power, in sufficient measure to